I'm kidding. How will you be found at that time, right? How will you be found when Jesus returns? Again, because it's going to be very unexpected. It could be, you could be preparing for a test. You could be on the bus to school. You could be taking a shower. You could be eating. You could be sleeping. Any time, what will you be found doing when he returns? I mean, think about it. Think about even next week or last week, tomorrow, today. What will you be found when out of the sky, you know, it'll be very clear when he returns, very clear when he returns, what will we be found doing, okay? So let's take a look at the passage. All right. Starting with Luke 12, 35 and 36, says this, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he knocks. So, Jesus gives his followers kind of an image of being ready, all right? And be dressed, in the Greek, it's more this idea of girding up your loins, right? So, I think Eric has talked about this at one point. I don't remember when. It was Saturday night or Sunday, but it was like, be dressed is to gird up your loins is like, okay, so remember back in the Old Testament they wore robes, right? And they were really long. And so to gird up your loins was to like take your robe and kind of pull it up and wrap it around so that you could move fast, right? So it's like, all right, boys, gird up your loins. We're going to move out, right? So this is the idea of a modern idea of getting ready is like, here's, what's his name? Usain Bolt. Yeah, you know, kind of in that position of I'm ready to move and serve. I'm ready to move out. I'm ready to go. So that's kind of the idea. And this is followed by another image. The image of burning lamps, which shows a person's readiness to move around in the dark, right? Kind of like, do you guys remember 5 years ago? I think it was like 5 years ago when there was blackout here. I think it happened during the summertime. What time was it? Do you guys remember when that happened? It was in August. Was it? And it was like, wow. And it was like, I think it was in the afternoon, but how many of you, you know, we had some time, because I think it happened in the afternoon, so it wasn't in the middle of the night, or it wasn't really dark, where all of a sudden the lights went out. I think it was in the afternoon, so we had some time to kind of get ready for the evening. And I don't know, I've heard some stories of you guys, you know, burning candles and playing board games and, you know, having a good time. But it'll be like that in the sense that, you know, no one was expecting this massive power outage. You know, I think it affected, just millions of people were affected by this power outage. And no one was really expecting it or ready for it. And so as quickly and as unexpected as something like that blackout that happened a number of years ago, that's how it will be. You know, and you guys were all kind of taken by surprise. That'll how it will be when Christ returns. So we need to be ready. So the last image that Jesus gives his followers is one of a servant waiting for his master to return from a wedding feast. Okay? Back in Jesus' times, wedding feasts would usually last for could last several days or even up to a week. And so, a servant would be, you know, the master would leave and say, "Okay, I want you to oversee this household, take care of things while I'm gone." And then the servant would not know exactly. It could be 2 days. It could be up to a week. He would never really know when his master was going to return. And so, the servant had to be ready at any time to kind of open up the door and let the master in. And so these three images of kind of being ready, having your being dressed, having your lamps burning so that you can move around at nighttime or be ready to do something in the dark, and then also being ready for your master to come home. Create an idea of serving and doing kingdom work while having one eye kind of on heaven, on the skies of when Jesus might return. All right? And I will give you I'm going to give you a more clear idea of what it actually means to be ready. You know, I mean, what's that? What are we supposed to do? Just wear our clothes all the time? What does it mean to be ready for the Lord's return? Here in a few minutes, later in the passage, it talks about it. But first, let's talk about your reward, because there is a reward. Okay, 37 and 38 say this: the servants who are ready and waiting for His return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth. He Himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever He comes, He will reward the servants who are ready. So think back to a week and a half ago, all of you guys were, maybe sitting around at the dinner table at Thanksgiving, you know, there's a feast out in front of you, and you're probably with family and with friends, and just hopefully loving the time that you had together. I know some of you are like, you know, once it comes to Thanksgiving dinner, it's like you eat and then you go play rock band or something like that 10 minutes later. But most of the time, you know, when you're together with friends and family especially at a great meal like Thanksgiving, you are just, it's really enjoyable. It's really fun to just, I was with, my mom and dad came out from Wisconsin. My sister and her husband came out from New York. And then we had Patrick and Janelle Smith, Patrick Smith that comes and preaches here, and his family out. And it was just great to sit around the table and eat together and laugh together and talk. And that is how it will be when Christ returns and He finds you being faithful and what He's given to you. And in fact, it says that He will seat them, this master will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. It's almost like this picture of, He'll say, I found you being faithful, now come in and sit and eat with Me, and I will serve you the food, you know? Come and sit at the table with Me and eat with Me. I'll even put on an apron and serve you. This is the reward that we will have. This is what we can be excited about. It's this idea of just eating and fellowshipping with Him. Imagine sitting across the table from the God of the universe, you know, and just having a conversation and having a meal with Him. But what He does is He underscores that this can happen at any time. Christ can come tomorrow. Christ can come tonight. And have a sense of readiness at all times. Verse 39 says, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time. Be ready all the time. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. When least expected. A number of years ago, my parents had their house broken into. And it's, you know, they live in a stable, you know, nice suburb like Troy or Rochester Hills. And so they were taken by surprise when they got home one night, and I think it was in the summertime. And, it wasn't like their house was ransacked or overturned or anything like that, or the windows were broken or the door was even broken. The burglars had climbed up. We've got an overhang on our roof, and so they climbed up on this overhang and then climbed into a window on the second floor that was open. You know, they broke into the screen. So at least when they first got into the door, you know, they didn't really notice anything. But my dad, he went to go, I think, put in a CD or turn on the radio. So he goes around the corner to turn on the radio, and he says, oh, that's odd. He called my mom and said, Have you moved the stereo at all? You know, have you changed? What's going on? And she's like, no, we haven't I haven't moved the stereo at all. And at that time, things began to sink in that something was really wrong. And then, you know, after that first discovery, then you begin to look around all around your house to figure out, like, what else they took. And it's really weird. The burglars took CDs from my parents' house, but they were really selective on which music they took. You could tell which music they liked because they left the stuff that they thought was junky in the CD case. And I guess there was... It was a group. I think it was a group that broke in, or at least a few people, because there was makeup that was taken from my mom's. You know, like, why would you steal makeup? There's still like CDs. There's a TV there, and you take makeup. So they took some of my mom's makeup. I guess they really liked Mary Kay, apparently. But what was so hard for them was the initial shock of like that first time, that sinking feeling of, oh my gosh, we've been. A burglar has hit our house. And, you know, because burglaries are what you read about on the newspaper or see in the news, but it never actually happens to you. You know, it's that shock. And that's how it'll be. That initial shock will how it be when Jesus returns. I'm sure that there'll be many people on the day He returns, you know, that... Even Christians, you know, even us Christians, we talk about Jesus Christ returning, and you know, I've always pictured Him returning, you know, when I was older somehow. I don't picture Him returning, you know, now. I'm only 35, and I don't picture Him returning until like I'm like in my 70s or 80s or something. Or, I mean, for you guys, I imagine you don't picture Him returning as a you know, you're, as a teenager or before you finish college or before you get married or anything like that. But it doesn't matter. He's not going to ask us, you know, hey, when are you getting married? Just so I can make sure that I can coordinate with you for when I return. It'll be like that. And we'll be like, I wasn't really expecting it. I wasn't ready for you to return. But Jesus says to be ready. Well, Peter... Peter's one of my favorite characters in the Bible because he's the first guy that says something. You know, he always has a question. He's the first guy to speak up. Sometimes it's really, really sharp in what he says. Sometimes it's totally goofy in what he says. But Peter's one of the guys that always talks first and asks a question first. So Peter says, "Hey, Lord, is that illustration for us? Are you talking about us? Who are you actually speaking about when you're saying to be ready? When you're giving us this parable about the burglar, what are you saying? Is it for us or is it for everybody?" And so the Lord replies, and He goes into what it means to be ready. He says this, "And the Lord replied, 'A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward, like we talked about. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, hey, my master won't be back for a while? And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful.'" So here's where Jesus begins to talk about, you know, who He is thinking of when He's saying to be ready, and also what it means to be ready. Being ready entails looking after and taking care of what God has given you to do. Okay? This is what it means to be ready, is to look after and take care of what God has handed you to do today. If you're doing that when He returns, you're in good shape, all right? If you are a Christian, and most all of you are in this room, you have... God's given you some responsibilities. He's given you some spiritual responsibilities within God's community. Okay. So, for example, if you are helping out with the kids on Sunday mornings, you know, over on the other wing, as I know some of you do, carrying out that responsibility with faithfulness and excellence is what God has for you. That's your responsibility. And He wants you to do it with excellence and faithfully and take it seriously, all right? Or if you are a care group leader, carry out that responsibility with all seriousness and faithfulness. Be found doing what God has entrusted you to do, has entrusted you to take care of. Or if you are on the worship team, or I know some of you on Saturday nights serve snacks, or some of you are on the serving line on Sundays serving food. And if that's the case, I know, serving food, sometimes it's like, well, I'm just serving food. But I'm telling you, serve wholeheartedly so that when He returns, He will see that you have done a good job and reward you. Because, you know, what you don't want to be found is when you're on the serving line and, you know, we put the money in, you get your fork, and then the person is like, here's your rice, and here's your vegetable. Here's your meat. Take your food, you know. You know, I mean, you could be that way. You know, you could just like, here's your rice. Here's your vegetable. You know, take it. Move on, you know. But no, we want to have whatever we're doing, whatever you've been trusted, whether it be teaching the kids on Sunday mornings down in the other wing, whether it be serving snacks on Saturday, whether it be a care group leader, whether it be serving on the line, you know, be found what He's entrusted to you, whether big or small. He's entrusted that ministry to you. And even on the line, you know, you represent our church. You know, we represent Christ. And so people come and visit. You know, you're kind of the first line of what people see in our church. You know, like, they want, you know, they're saying, is this church warm? Is this church caring? You know? And so, just know that He's entrusted this ministry to you, okay? So, Jesus begins to share. What He does is He shares two categories of people. All right, two categories of people. He begins to break down. When I return, there's going to be two kinds of people that I find. All right, and those two kinds of people are the faithful and the unfaithful. Okay. So first, the faithful. The Lord replied, "The faithful, sensible servant is one whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns." And so not only will your reward be to be able to sit and dine with the master of the king of the universe, with the Lord that we've been waiting for. But also there's some sense that in Scripture that, I know this for some this may sound like a bummer, but that we'll have some sort of responsibility after He returns. And a lot of people are like, heaven should be a place where there is no work, you know, we just have prayer session the whole time. But there's some idea that when He returns, you know, even before the fall, even before there was sin in the world, there was work to be done that Adam and Eve were doing. And that's how it'll be when He returns as well. There'll be some sense of, there'll be a responsibility or a role that you'll play in the kingdom when He returns. And so there's an idea that you're found faithful. Your reward will not only be to eat with Him, but He's going to give you a responsibility, something greater as a part of administrating or running the kingdom of God. So where we want to be found. We want to be looked at as seen as being faithful. But then he goes, there's an other category. And the other category starts with the unfaithful. And there's three kind of classes or types of unfaithful. And so the first one is those who are unfaithful but blatantly disobedient. Says this, but what if the servant thinks my master won't be back for a while? He begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. So this is the servant who's totally unconcerned, who could care less if the master's returning. And in fact, it does the exact opposite of what is command. Instead of looking over and managing and caring for the servants, he beats them. And instead of being ready for his return, being set and prepared, he gets drunk and he parties. And you've got to say here, I mean, this is not, this is kind of verse when I, like, say if I'm with other unbelievers, it's hard to read, it's hard to spit out Jesus' words. Because he doesn't mince words here. The reaction to this kind of servant, to the blatantly disobedient, is swift and it is strong. And graphic. But these are Jesus' words. And so we need to look at this consequence seriously. Okay? All right, the second type of disobedient is the unfaithful consciously disobedient. It says, and a servant who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. Okay, so this type of person is not an active rebellion or kind of an in-your-face disobedience. This is more like you know what you're supposed to do, but you just don't do it. Okay, so it's a little bit different from the blatantly disobedient. I've seen sometimes where I like watching little kids because watching little kids kind of reveals kids don't know how to refine their actions yet. You know, they don't know, like, as we get older, we know how to, like, hide things better and kind of refine our actions. But kids, I watched one kid, he was over at our house once, and we had plants in our house, and he started grabbing onto the plants, you know, and, like, kind of, he was only two or whatever, and started, like, you know, he's going to touch them. And his mom goes, "Aiden, I don't want you touching the plants." And he put his hand down, and then he looked back, like, he looked at his mom and went like this. You know, like, he wanted to see what his mom would do, like, if he disobeyed. So he just kind of, he looked back, he's like, "Aiden," you know, and so he kind of put his hand down, because he knows. But his whole thing was, he was testing to see what would happen. You know, kids have to just kind of discover what will happen if they're disobedient. But for us, as we get older, we know what is what God desires from us, but we sometimes just decide consciously that we don't want to do it. So this might be going back to anything from teaching on Sunday mornings in the other wing to serving on serving lunch. It might be saying when someone asks you to say, could you grace? Would you be willing to serve, go on the line and just serve our church? And it might be saying, you know, you kind of know that God wants you to, and you don't have anything else you're doing per se. You know, it's not like you've got, yeah, I'm actually getting prepared for, you know, for something else, I'm serving in the church in some other way. It's not like that. It's just that you don't want to do it. You know that God wants you to do it, but you just don't, right? You decide not to. Or maybe in a different context, you know that the Lord would not have you. Maybe you get in a fight with someone at school and you want to take revenge out on this person in some way. And you know that the Lord says, you know, hey, leave the revenge for me. You know, we're not supposed to take our revenge out on people, but give room for the Lord, you know. Jesus says, hey, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other cheek, right? And so you know you're not supposed to, but instead you go and you spread lies about the person because you're so angry and you're like, God, I don't care. I'm just so angry. I just want to do what I want to do, right? So this is the kind of thing that he's talking about. Okay, so this is a second kind of person. Here's the last kind of unfaithful person. It's disobedience and ignorance. But someone who does not know then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. And this, I got this picture off the internet. I don't know this little girl well, but it reminds me of Morgan when she was like 2, because she, you know, you got a picture of a young little girl who just is reaching to grab something they shouldn't be grabbing onto, or getting into something that they shouldn't be getting into. But the thing is that they don't know about it. You know, they haven't learned yet that this is a boundary and that they're not supposed to be into it. And so, of course, if this is the case, we will be held less accountable. Those who do things that are wrong and don't know about it will be held less accountable in these cases. So, you know, sometimes I've heard, either in Sunday school, and I'm sure I've done it, I'm positive I've done it sometimes, when you're teaching in Sunday school, you hear someone leave Sunday school class,